top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the prime evening news for today, Wednesday, February 14th, in the headlines. Carter sleeps a music stalwart Leroy Waddick's Charles advocates for responsible song selection in the presence of children, coming on the heels of the conclusion of the 2024 Carnival Street celebrations.
Big Station,
Guyana's President Dr. Mohamed Irfan Ali has called for a focused and resolute approach to combat the consequences of conflict on food and climate security, and underscored the urgent need for bold global action. And Australian writer Yang Hengzheng received a suspended death sentence on espionage charges from a Beijing court, jeopardizing the recent improvement in bilateral ties between Beijing and Canberra.
Right on cue.
The news is brought to you compliments Archipelago Trading Agents of Beacon Insurance Limited. Details coming up next.
Sure, you settle for more. Get up to 35% off Beacon's fully comprehensive vehicle insurance and still cover a whole lot more. Enjoy higher discounts and better coverage for any kind of vehicle, car, SUV, or pickup with free loss of use, windscreen cover, and special perils. To sign up, call Archipelago Trading at 448-5247 or log on to beacon.co.tt and settle for more today.
Re-owned cultural figure Leroy Waddick's Charles had voiced his concerns regarding the inappropriate use of songs during carnival events, particularly when children are present. His remarks follow observations made during the 2024 carnival festivities, where illicit songs were reportedly played in segments designated for children. Charles emphasized the importance of entertainers being mindful of their audience and selecting appropriate content, especially in settings catered to younger participants.
Well, some of the younger DJs simply feel it's nasty business and who they're supposed to play, you know, and that, I mean, that's another discussion. Yes, you know, you are given a responsibility to play music. You must, and it is imperative on the DJs to understand their audience. You cannot play that sort of music for children. You cannot, in an open carnival, there's a time and place for that. And, you know, it was very disappointing. And as a Dominican, and who have been against that sort of level of in your face profanity and sexual explicit content. My life was threatened several times, fellas, almost threatened to mash up my face if I continue to speak against the nasty business. And I decided I was never going to talk about that anymore. Because when I see the silence of the definite silence of the church in particular, when I hear the definite silence of one third of the cabinet ministers who are women, when I see the country tolerating this garbage at the expense of our children, and we're talking about kind of foolishness after when our morals are now in the gutter, I decided to submit first as a lay. Because that's what happened. Now that was played on the street. Kiddies carnival, juve, opening of carnival. I mean, what is the excuse for that?
Charles highlighted the consistent commitment of the carnival and Funderbird's group to celebrate and promote Dominica's culture and traditions through the vibrant expression of calypso music.
Anyway, on the Monday afternoon, I mean, it was very slow and mad. 5 hours of lull. Nothing. Absolutely no activity. If you would have been for the first time coming to the city, you would wonder if it is really Carnival Monday. There was a 5-hour lull, which really becoming ridiculous. But then later that afternoon, we saw the streets, you know, an explosion of activities on the street. We also saw the Thunderbird again in their usual element, led by Zai Emmanuel. They showcased their different dimensions of sensei costume. It was good to see Dr. IP and Dr. Damien Dublin. You saw an array of Rupai Fig, Sack Bayol, and Club Sensei. Very colorful, small in numbers, but they showcased and they played 100% calypso. Likewise, Old Time Sick, who were dressed in all black with their blue lighted stick and the necklaces. It was very, very encouraging. Once again, they played 100% calypso. TK Mega Monday was also, I mean, a major, major force on the road. And apart from their green and white t-shirts, we witnessed several variations of the swimsuit type outfits the young people really seem to feel that they should showcase their vital statistics, several colors, pink, blue, yellow. Also, Signal Band, they teamed up with Clubbed with primarily a yellow t-shirt, and they too was also dominant. We also saw Amnesia, and that's led by the MP for the Rosa constituency.
And that was cultural stalwart Leroy Waddick's chance. Dominica's sports coordinator Trevor Schillingford expressed immense satisfaction with the exceptional performance and dedication exhibited by Stephen Pascal, the West Indies under 19 captain, during the recent tournament in South Africa. Schillingford emphasized that Pascal's leadership and the team's overall efforts brought pride not only to the Caribbean but also to Dominica. He extended heartfelt congratulations to Pascal for his remarkable achievement, highlighting the significance of Dominica's contribution in producing a leader who has made history by leading a West Indies team.
We were truly pleased with what we saw on television, and we really want to thank you and the rest of your team for representing our region well. I know the speaker before me said that we did not make it all the way to the top, but we had only the rain to blame for that. Because probably had it not been the rain, we would have still been in South Africa fighting for the championship. So I want to really congratulate Stephen on his achievement, and we are quite satisfied that here in Dominica that we were able to provide the rest of the Caribbean with a leader. And that leader is Stephen Pascal. As a nation, should be proud of, because it is the first time in our history that we actually have someone from Dominica as captain of a West Indies team. And that cannot be seen as something that is beyond.
Schillingford advised Pascal not to view his role as captain of the West Indies under 19 team as a final destination, but rather as a stepping stone to greater opportunities. He encouraged Pascal to remain diligent and dedicated, emphasizing the importance of hard work coupled with his existing skills and capabilities, along with support to achieve the level of success he aspires to attain.
We really want to thank Stephen. We were all happy with what we saw coming from him on the field. We think that he had the full respect and command of his team, and it shows that we can provide the region with good leaders. And these things are not happening by accident, because Stephen, we know, has been groomed to be a leader from his early days as an under 13 captain in the Dominica under 13 team. He moved on to captain the Dominica under 15 team, the under 19 team, the Windward Islands under 17, Windward Islands under 19, and onto the West Indies under 19. Now that is something we want Stephen to also take note of, because we can see the gradual rise. If it had been there for, there is still another level to go. So we are looking forward to you making that next step. Please do not think that getting to the under 19, that is the end of the road. You have to continue putting in the hard work. I know that you are committed. I know that you have tremendous support, especially coming from your father, who serves most of the time as your coach. So we are aware that you will get the type of guidance that you need, but the rest must come from you. And we are looking forward to you doing greater things for Dominica, for your family, and for yourself.
Dominica's sports coordinator, Trevor Schillingford. Thomas Leiter, the General Secretary of the Dominica Public Service Union, underscored a proactive approach to price reduction in businesses without resorting to employee layoffs. He emphasized the importance of fostering a collaborative environment where employees are encouraged to contribute their ideas for business improvement. Leiter elaborated that by soliciting suggestions from workers, companies can tap into the valuable insights and experiences of their staff to identify areas for efficiency enhancement and cost saving.
One way we believe that you can decrease cost instead of layoffs of workers is to solicit business improvement suggestions from employees. Too often, we see employees as coming to work, do what you're supposed to do, and goodbye at the end of the day. They are not made to feel that they are part of the organization. So their recommendation, their suggestions are not sought at any time. The rules come from the top down, and it's either you do it or else. But my research in the successes of a number of business operations and global business operations points to the fact that employees have always been part of recommendations, suggestions, and so on. And you may say you don't believe that. But when I studied business at university, and in which I have a master's degree, I spent hours researching into that particular area, the whole businesses, what contributed to the success of a lot of businesses. And I have books and books on that.
Lita explained on strategies to prevent layoffs, emphasizing the importance of aligning employees' tasks with the company's objectives and focusing on areas with significant impact.
So I'm not only versed or trained in industrial relations, but in business operations or business management. Now, there are certain things that can be done to avoid layoffs. We have to make sure that the work is aligned, that the employee's work is aligned with the company's goal and priorities, and that his contribution focuses on areas that have greater impact. But how is he able to know those things if there is not regular interaction with him? What is done to bring it to his attention, the goals, what the goals and the priorities of that organization are? So you can see there is a great need for interaction. There is a great need for regular meetings. Some people operate businesses and will not make time to have any discussion with employees. And not only in private sector, even in the public services. How often, for example, are staff meetings, departmental meetings, organized or arranged in the public service?
And that was Dominica Public Service Union General Secretary Thomas Lita. In the weeks leading up to Carnival, Rosa witnessed the introduction of a new pre-Carnival event called Mass in the City, hosted by Prevost Cinema, much to the delight of visitors, local and shoppers alike. According to Ms. Vanessa Prevost, General Manager of the Prevost Cinema, this event aimed to bring the essence of Dominica's traditional Carnival to the heart of the city. The event showcased various cultural elements integral to Dominica's Carnival, including Stilpan, Jingping, Sensi, Kalinago Rhythm, and Haitian Rara. Ms. Prevost highlighted a positive role played by businesses within the Prevost Cinema Complex in reviving the traditional Carnival spirit. Looking ahead, Ms. Prevost expressed plans to continue and expand the Mass in the City event in the coming years, inviting visitors, locals, and shoppers to mark their calendars for an even more vibrant celebration. She emphasized the ideal location of Prevost Cinema for hosting such cultural performances, thanks to its recessed building design and well-paved courtyard. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website. That's www.q95da.com. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre has spoken out against what he perceives as concerning trend of government operatives launching aggressive attacks on certain Calypsonians and songwriters, including prominent figures like Pat Aaron and King Dice. He pointed to instances where Calypso songs were labeled as weapons against the current political leadership, questioning the absence of similar reactions to past songs criticizing the government of those days. Dr. Andre expressed deep concern over reports of legal action being anticipated against a Calypsonian, viewing it as a troubling sign of the erosion of freedom of expression as enshrined in Dominica's constitution.
In recent times, over the last few years, many persons regarded by all and sundry as government operatives have launched a vicious attack on certain Calypsonians, certain songwriters, more particularly Pat Aaron, who was honored just recently, and more particularly the Dice. But there are others, and this is well orchestrated. One operative recently said that Calypso has been weaponized, I guess, against the political directorate. Where was he when one of the acolytes sang a song with the lyric Nupavle Minister Borga or something to that effect? Was it weaponized then? Was it weaponized in the past? When some of these self-sale acolytes who preach a gospel of subservience, when in a prior life they were very objective and critical of what's happening in the political firmament. So this is an orchestrated attack, quite frankly. It's an indication as to the death or the apparent or the imminent death of freedom of expression or freedom of association as guaranteed by the constitutional right, by the constitution. So that when we hear suggestions that somehow the prosecutorial office has some issues with a particular song, that is to say, a suggestion that the prosecution of persons is selective, and to the extent that what I heard is correct, that there is some threat of legal action.
Dr. Andre questioned the basis for the anticipated legal actions against the Calypsonian, raising concerns about alleged selectivity in prosecuting cases. He suggested that there may be neglect in pursuing legal action in more significant cases.
Legal action on what basis? The officer of the DPP nullified the case after receiving a letter or letters from lawyers who were involved in a case in which the CCJ sent back the case involving electoral petitions back to the magistrate's court for trial. Those persons who were seeking to prosecute government ministers, if my information is correct, include, for example, Simon, former Attorney General of Antigua, who certainly knows a thing or two about criminal law. And yet the case was nulliprost because the office of the DPP concluded that the evidence fell far short of that is required to launch a prosecution. Well, we all know the decision stunk and reeked of political interference. And there are other cases, Mr. G, over the years. Take, for instance, Gron Emmanuel. It may have been a different DPP then, but what happened was clear. Despite a confession, which is typically what police enforcement look for in any particular case, a confession. They found a blatant and dishonest way not to prosecute those who allegedly were involved in the attempted murder, firebombing of Gron Emmanuel. And there are other cases which raises serious questions and concerns about the criteria for prosecuting certain individuals.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. In other news, Guyana's president, Dr. Irvin Ali, has called for a focused and resolute approach to combat the consequences of conflict on food and climate security, emphasizing the urgent need for global action. Addressing a United Nations Security Council open debate on the correlation between climate change, food insecurity, and international peace and security, President Ali highlighted various global instances, illustrating the detrimental effects of conflict on these vital aspects. The interplay between climate change, food security, and peace and security is evident. Climate change and conflict serve as the primary drivers of food insecurity, often intertwining to create a cycle of instability and deprivation. That's remarked from President Ali, who chaired the high-level debate. President Ali emphasized the substantial impact of armed conflict on food security, citing the loss of agricultural land during wars as a significant concern. He pointed to the war in Ukraine, where agricultural enterprises suffered nearly $4 billion in damages, disproportionately affecting small and medium-sized farmers without insurance coverage. He said that millions of families are pushed into poverty as a result of warfare, adding that this grim reality underscores the need for a comprehensive assessment of the environmental and humanitarian impacts of conflict. And in a tight vote of 214 to 213 on Tuesday, the Republican-led U.S. House of Representatives impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, Democratic President Joe Biden's top border official. The articles of impeachment accused Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas of failing to uphold U.S. immigration laws, allegedly contributing to a surge in migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border, and of providing false information to Congress. Reuters News Agency has more.
This is a five-minute vote.
U.S. House Republicans voted to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on Tuesday, succeeding in their second attempt to do so as immigration snowballs into a major issue for this year's elections. Mayorkas is Democratic President Joe Biden's top border official, and this marks the first time in nearly 150 years a cabinet member has been impeached since a Secretary of War was investigated for corruption way back in 1876. The House approved two articles of impeachment accusing Mayorkas of not enforcing U.S. immigration laws, which Republicans argue led to record flows of migrants across the U.S.-Mexico border, as well as making false statements to Congress.
On this vote, the yeas are 214 and the nays are 213. The resolution is adopted.
A first vote failed last week. Republican lawmaker Steve Scalise, who was receiving cancer treatment, was not present for last week's vote, but he returned to Washington this week, providing the crucial ballot. In a statement, a Department of Homeland Security spokesperson said, without a shred of evidence or legitimate constitutional grounds, House Republicans have falsely smeared a dedicated public servant who has spent more than 20 years enforcing our laws and serving our country. Biden, in his statement, said House Republicans had played, quote, petty political games. Constitutional experts and even some Republicans have said the House probe of Mayorkas failed to provide evidence of the high crimes of misdemeanors that the U.S. Constitution cites as reasons for impeachment. Tuesday's House impeachment vote comes a week after hardline Republicans in the Senate, egged on by Trump, defeated a bipartisan deal to address border security that would have been the most sweeping border security policy change in decades. The vote now moves to the Democratic majority Senate, where it is highly unlikely they will vote to oust Mayorkas.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Kader Slipso Music stalwart Leroy Waddix Charles advocates for responsible song selection in the presence of children, coming on the heels of the conclusion of the 2024 Carnival Street Celebration.
Vic Station, Q90.
Guyana's President Dr. Irfan Ali has called for a focused and resolute approach to combat the consequences of conflict on food and climate security, and underscored the urgent need for bold global action. And on Tuesday, a Republican-led U.S. House impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, Biden border official, alleging that immigration policies lack.
Only on Q95, the big station.
The news was brought to you compliments Archipelago Trading Agents for Beacon Insurance Limited. I've been your presenter for this environment. Thank you for listening.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.